Lord, we pray now as we come to your word that, Lord, we would see a new truth, a new word, a new phrase, a new bit that would just speak into our lives this morning and just remind us of who you are, your story, and our place in it. We ask this in Christ's name. Amen. So we're in our new series of the year, which started last week. If you weren't here, you can catch up online. And the series is called Original Design. And what we're looking at is, what is God's original design for you and for me? You see, because the Christian story is about understanding who you were always intended to be and knowing that Jesus allows us to get back to that original intent. So our series is about original design, and it kind of links off the back of what our vision is as a church. Our vision as a church is to be a people who trust the Father, receive the Spirit, and tell the story of the Son, as we look at of Jesus' words in Acts 1:8, written by Luke, as he recalls the work of Jesus. And before Jesus goes back to heaven, basically Jesus says the three things you need to do as people of God are trust the Father, receive the Spirit, and tell the story of the Son wherever you go. And kind of looking at this idea of the first one, trust the Father, is kind of where we find ourselves in this series. And ultimately, if you were here last week, you'll have heard this, and you'll hear it again over the next few weeks. Trusting the Father is about knowing this. God is good, and he loves you. That is the Christian message. God is good, and he loves you. If anyone tells you anything different, that's not the good news of the gospel. The reason why it's called good news is because it's good, because God is good, and he loves you. I can't stop saying it because it's so important that we get it in our heads. God is good and he loves us. And we go to the beginning of the Bible, the book of Genesis. We see there in Genesis 1 and 2, the story of how God makes everything. And God says, all of it is good. All of it is good. And what we see is God creating creation out of love, as a reflection of who he is. It says in Psalm 19, the heavens declare the glory of God. The skies proclaim the work of his hand. It's saying all of us have known that moment when we looked up at an amazing sunset, or maybe stood on a mountain and looked out at a huge vista and gone, wow. And you just think, whew. And you have that sense of feeling something greater than yourself. I would say that's God. It's a recognition of God's creation, of going, this can't just come about by accident. There's going to be something more to this. There's going to be more design in this. And the psalmist in Psalm 19 is saying, the heavens declare the glory of God. It all proclaims the work of his hand. It proclaims who he is, but what is his glory? It's one of those Christian words that we have, glory, but what does it actually mean? Well, when we go to the book of Exodus, there's a guy there called Moses. And Moses has quite an intimate relationship with God. He's very close to God. And Moses one day asked God, I want to see your glory. I want to see all of who you are. What are you about, God? And God says, I am going to make all of my goodness come before you, Moses. If you want to see what I'm like, I'm going to show you all of my goodness, all of my mercy, all of my love. See, when we say, God, who are you? He says, let me show you my goodness. Let me show you my mercy. Let me show you my love. That's his message to Moses. You want to know who I am? I'm good. That my goodness is my glory. So when the psalmist says, the heavens declare the glory of God, what he's saying is, all of this proclaims that God is good. That what God made in the beginning was good. But that's who God is, that everything is a reflection of who he is. And what the Bible teaches is that Jesus, who is the Son of God, comes into the world to help humanity recognize this reality, to learn this truth. And if you go to John 17, it basically says the work of Jesus is to show and reflect the glory of the Father. What I say is, the purpose of Jesus coming to earth is to show the goodness of God to the world and reflect it into our lives. Jesus comes to show the goodness of God. Why? Because God so loved the world. John 3:16, God so loved the world that he gave his only son. Because God loves us, he wants to show us his goodness and his mercy. But the story of the Christian faith is the fact that we have rejected that goodness. We've rejected that story of mercy and love, and we choose to go our own way. And the role of Jesus is to bring us back into relationship with God. You see, our original design was to reflect the goodness of God in creation. In Genesis, it says God makes them male and female, and they were good. You are good. God has made you. Your original design is to reflect the goodness of God. What happens is we break relationship with God in the garden, when we choose to go our own way, we break trust with God, and when we do that, we find ourselves outside of what God intended for us. And Jesus comes, because God loves us, to restore that broken relationship, to tell you that you are a child of God. If you were here last week, you'll have heard me say quite a few times, you are a child of God. But Jesus comes to live the life that we could never live. You see, in creation there are three key themes. That Adam and Eve were intended. The original design of Adam and Eve were three things. Relationship with God. To reign in creation, to steward the whole earth with responsibility. And thirdly, to reproduce, to be fruitful. That was God's intended plan for humanity, which was to trust, have responsibility, and to be fruitful. That's what you were made to be. You were made to be someone who's in relationship with the Father in trust. You were called to take responsibility in creation and to be fruitful. But what happens is, when we choose to reject God, also in the garden, God says, I've made you with this pattern, this intent, but you are free. You are free. You can choose. It's your choice whether to live according to this pattern that I have intended for you or to do something else. But if you live according to the pattern, you will be fruitful. But all of us choose ourselves. We all choose to break relationship with God. So what happens is, rather than having relationship and trust, there's enmity between people and there's control. That when there's a breakdown of us reigning in creation, which we'll explain a bit more in a second, we get ruled instead of being ruling over. We are ruled by shame, guilt, fear. That instead of being fruitful and reproducing, we stagnate and actually we reduce our capacity. When we break trust with the Father, there's a breakdown of trust, it leads to control. Because when you can't trust, you feel you've got to control something. And control leads to fear. Because we can't control everything, no matter how much we try. So we then are always living in a place of fear because we can't do the things that we think we should be able to try and do. Trust comes from relationship. Trust comes from love. When love is present, you're able to trust. It says in John's Gospel, in 1 John, sorry, there is no fear in love, but perfect love drives out fear. Because fear is to do with punishment. No one who fears is made perfect in love. We love because he first loved us. What's going on here is this. When we break with the pattern that we were made to live, to be in relationship, to reign, and to reproduce, fear, guilt, shame take over in our lives. And we become controlled by it rather than ruling over it. And what he's saying here is the answer and the antidote to this in your life is love. But it can't be any old love. It has to be God's perfect love in Christ. And God's perfect love in Christ, what it does for us is it drives out fear. It drives out the place of control. It drives it out and says, actually, love and trust is a thing that keeps me going forwards. You trust the Father and it drives away fear. It drives away the need to control. When we have that relationship of love, we don't need to control anymore. And ultimately, this is what Jesus says, is follow me. He's saying, to follow me is to trust that my path is the way to go. Don't go down your own path, go down my path. So God's intended plan for you is to be in relationship with him, in trust, and to take responsibility over creation. He says to the human beings in Genesis 1 and 2, he says, name all the animals. He's basically saying, you have got dominion over all the animals. He says, go out into all the earth, multiply and be fruitful. What he's saying is, I've given you this world for you to share in the process of creation, to share in the original design. You can be part of it or not. And what we're seeing right now, particularly in the media, around things like global warming and climate change, things like that, is people recognizing that we need to have a greater connection with the creation that we are part of. And we need to do something about that particular issue. And part of that is about us stewarding and having dominion over the world. So actually, we want to have responsibility over the world, not just as has been taught in the past in the Christian church, saying, the world's ours to have dominion over, so let's just abuse it and use it. That's not what the Bible teaches. You have responsibility over this world because you are a co-creator with Christ. You are called to have responsibility in creation to tend the ground, to care for it, to look after it. That means looking after creation and each other. And what we're called to do is be fruitful in that task. See, what I'm driving at here is this. In the garden, if you listen to last week as well, you'll get this link if you listen to last week as well. From the very beginning, God said, you are made and you are good. And he puts Adam and Eve in a garden which is good, where they can eat of all the fruit of the trees in the garden apart from one, and it is good. And they tend the garden, and it's good. That's what their intended plan and purpose is. They are blessed before they've even done a thing. You haven't got to do something for God's blessing in your life. God says, I want you to be blessed by me so you can go and tend and care for the world. You see, what happens is, if you think about Genesis, God creates the whole world and it is good. But what he does is he creates a garden. It says he plants a garden in the east and he puts Adam and Eve into the garden. Notice, the whole world isn't a garden. There's part of the creation that is a garden, that is good, that reflects the glory of God, and he puts Adam and Eve into the garden. And I think what God's trying to say in that passage, he's saying, this garden is the pattern. This relationship with God is the pattern. This tending the garden is the pattern. What does he say? Be fruitful and multiply over the whole earth. Adam and Eve were never intended to stay in the garden. They were intended to break out of the garden and make the garden bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger until the whole of creation reflected the garden. That was the intended purpose and plan. That we are co-creators with God. God says, I am going to show you what it looks like. I'm going to bless you so that you can go and do and be like me. You can reflect my glory, my goodness into the world. You are called to go and be fruitful, to go and take what you've experienced here, the blessing of God, and go and share it into the rest of the world. That's your purpose as a believer, is to receive the blessings of God, the freedom that comes from being in relationship with him, free from fear and shame and guilt, to be back in relationship with him through Christ, so that you can be fruitful and multiply. Not just in the family sense, but in the spiritual sense as well. It's saying you are called to make a difference in the world. You are called to take the pattern of Eden and share it everywhere. To take it out of the garden and beyond. To basically make the garden bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger till the whole of creation reflects the goodness of God. Your part in this story, I'll put it up there. This will say better. All that we have been given for a purpose. And that purpose is to work at God's right hand to fulfill all the potential of the world that God has made. When we broke trust with God in the beginning, we let go of our responsibility to help make the world a better place, to help the outworking of creation. And what Jesus does is he brings us back into the story of God through the work on the cross of forgiving our sins, getting rid of all the guilt, all the shame, all the fear, brings us back in relationship with him. And what Jesus' term for this creation is the kingdom of heaven. The kingdom of heaven is just do some gardening. Make the world a better place. Wherever there is ground that needs to be made fruitful, go out and make it fruitful. Go into the barrenness of the world and make it fruitful. So it's saying, when you go into your workplace, and it's not a very good attitude or it's not a very good kind of culture in that place, go and be different. Go and bring God's kingdom in that place. See that as barren ground that needs tilling and working to be made fruitful. In your family, where there are people who don't know Jesus yet, it's saying, that is a place to see the garden expanded. So I'm going to till the ground. I'm going to care for this. I'm going to nurture this. I'm going to do all I can to make this a reflection of God's goodness and glory. Whatever you do, wherever you are called to reflect the goodness of God. Say, I have been blessed so that I can be a blessing to others. To go and take the idea of the garden into the whole of creation. See, God's plan for blessing the whole world is to bless Adam and Eve and for them to be fruitful and multiply. He blesses so that then Adam and Eve can reflect what God is like and create. And to reflect that on and on and on and on. God's plan for blessing the world is through human fruitfulness. Human faithfulness is the key to bearing fruit. It's saying, if you want to take the garden into the darkness of the world, the only way you can do that is by being back in relationship with God. Because when you're back in relationship with God, you know who you are. You know that you are made by God to reflect the image of God, who is good. And with that understanding of who you are and your identity in Christ, what you learn is that you have a responsibility not to be ruled by the world, but to take dominion over it, not in a way of kind of abusing it, but in a way of taking responsibility for it. And that's why we pray as people. What we're saying is, actually, this doesn't look right. God, your will would be different from this. And we are seeking to participate with God in taking authority and ruling over the things that are bad in the world. My image of prayer is this. If you ever read the Chronicles of Narnia, I don't know if you might have read that. If you haven't, it's well worth reading. The first book, The Magician's Nephew, there's this beautiful bit in the story where some people end up in this newly forming world. And it's all dark and pitch black. And suddenly, they hear this song. And this song gets louder. It has different pitches and different tones. And what they notice is that as different notes of the song happen, different parts of creation start popping up in different places. And what they realize is the song is linked to creation. What I believe is we were made to be part of that song, to sing along with God, and it sees creation take place. But what we have chosen to do is get out of tune with the conductor. Get out of tune with the song. When we choose to go our own way, if you're in a band, you start playing your own riff, it ruins the song. When we go off track, it's like we're out of tune with God's song. Jesus comes to show us what the melody is, what the tune is, what the rhythm is, and allows us to get back into the song. And for me, when I pray, what I'm doing is I'm joining in with the song of creation. I'm saying, this is what the song should be like. So I'm going to sing God's tune of creation over the barrenness. I'm going to declare what God is like over the darkness. I'm going to take the original design and I'm going to declare it. I'm going to take authority over it and I want to see it happen. You can't be fruitful if you're not faithful, if you're not in relationship with God. You've got to be faithful. A few weeks ago, I talked about in church about the parable of the growing seed in Mark 4. Mark 4, parable of the growing seed. A farmer goes out to sow. He sows the seed. And then, night or day, whether he gets up or he goes to sleep, the seed grows all by itself. And at the end of it, he comes and he harvests. We are too quick to plant a seed and next day go, why is it not fruitful? And we're going to dig it up again the following day. And actually, what God is saying is the faithfulness of knowing that God will do what God does. We plant the seeds, we till the ground, but faithfulness is saying, I trust in the waiting that God does what God does. If you have a baby, it doesn't happen overnight. It takes 9 months. Nothing in creation that is fruitful happens overnight. There's a period of faithfulness waiting for the fruitfulness. So it's saying your relationship with Jesus is the thing that leads to fruitfulness. And it might seem right now that you're clinging on with your fingertips, and that's okay. Stay faithful because the fruitfulness will come. Fruitfulness will come. Every time we trust the Father, we show more of God's light into the world. I've got a little illustration here that probably a bit too small for everyone to see. This might be helpful for some of you. We have this mirror here. This is the Father. This is the Son. I didn't have two mirrors that were the same. It's saying we've been blinded by our rejection of God, by us turning away from his original design. We've turned away from God. And therefore we don't reflect his glory, his goodness into creation. He sends Jesus into the world to show us what the Father is like. So we can see what the Father is like. He's like, and Jesus' job is to reflect God's glory into our lives and into the world so that we can see the Father's glory. What happens is, when we understand who Jesus is, it's like we take off part of the mask of what's been the barrier between us and seeing what God is like. So Jesus comes to take away, to say, let me show you what the Father is like by removing the things that get in the way of you seeing what the Father is like. So what happens is we start to reflect Jesus as Jesus reflects the Father. If the angles were right, you'd be able to just see this candle in this mirror. You'd be able to see in this mirror, sorry, the reflection of the candle in this mirror. What happens, every time you trust the Father, it's like you show a bit more of who he is. It's like, okay, I'm going to trust him with my future. And suddenly, you can reflect more of Jesus into the Father, into the world, because you're saying, I trust him in this. I'm going to trust him with the original design. Every time we trust God in our finances, we say, God, you say you'll provide, I'm going to trust you in this. It's like we can reflect more of the Father. We reflect more of God's goodness into the world around us. Every time we stay faithful to that person who really annoys us, but we're determined to love them regardless, it's like we are showing that trust gives way to more of God's being reflected. And it might take a while for that light to come to its fullness in that person's life or in that situation, but the trust reveals the Father into the world. And our purpose is to reflect God's glory of his goodness into creation, to be co-creators with him in doing that. Every time you trust, you reflect more of what God is like. You reflect more of Jesus and you reflect more of the Father. Every time you trust. And life is full of moments where you have a choice, that freedom of Genesis 2:16, that freedom to choose. You can choose to say, actually, I'm going to trust God in this moment and reflect his goodness, or I can choose to not trust him in this, and suddenly a little bit of the Father's glory gets covered. And the Christian life is this constant battle between us covering and uncovering, covering and uncovering, where we're kind of playing this game of going, I'll trust you in this area of my life, but not in this area of my life. And ultimately, the Christian journey is to say, I want to get to a situation in my Christian life where all of me can reflect all of Jesus as he reflects the Father. And if I was a better scientist, I've worked out so I could shine a light somewhere up there. As you trust, you reflect God's goodness into the world. Your faithfulness leads to fruitfulness. Never stop being faithful. And so often what we are looking for is we say, God will be faithful when you're fruitful. We say, God, when you do it for me, then I'll trust you. God says, no. Trust me because it's the waiting that leads to the fruitfulness. There's that classic story about the swimming pool. You might have heard this one. It's like you're standing on a diving board with a swimming pool underneath you. And it's empty of water. God says, jump off and I'll fill the pool with water. And we go, no, God. You fill the pool with water and then I'll jump off. God goes, no. Jump off and I'll fill the pool with water. What we want is we want the fruit to justify our trust. And God says, that's not how trust works. That's control. It is trust, and that patience, that waiting, that place where you're going, God, can I really do this? Can I really trust you in this? That's the thing that leads to the fruitfulness. Be faithful to be fruitful. Don't try and wait for fruitfulness in order to be faithful. That's not how it works. That's what Adam and Eve do. They take the fruit. They want the fruit there and then rather than the faithfulness. So, sum up. God is good, and he loves you. Your original design is to be a child of God, a co-creator with God in creation, to expand the garden into the whole world. See the whole world transformed to look like the image of the garden. Every time you trust, it reveals more, it reflects more of God's goodness into the world and allows more opportunity to plant the seeds that become fruitful. So wherever you are, my encouragement to you this morning is this. You're a child of God. You are called to take responsibility in creation to garden the world and let it be as it should be. We do that when we trust the Father, when we reflect the glory of the Son, and that changes the world. When you trust, you reflect Jesus. You reflect the Father. Fruitfulness comes from faithfulness. That's our purpose. To be faithful, to be fruitful, to transform the world. Let's just stop there and pray. Jesus, thank you that you come to remind us that we are called to reflect God's glory into the world just like you did. You remind us about what our pattern is, what we're called to be. Father God, thank you that your world works in a certain way that is good. Lord, thank you that faithfulness always leads to fruitfulness. Help us trust you to reflect your glory. I want you to take a moment where you are, where you're sitting, to think about, firstly, where's God put you? What's your barren land to garden? And then secondly, just bring before God, where am I struggling to trust right now? Am I finding it really hard to reflect the Father's glory, his goodness? Because being faithful seems really hard right now. Let's bring that before God. Acknowledge it and say, God, this is how I'm honestly feeling right now. This is where I'm finding it really hard to reflect your goodness because I'm finding it really hard to trust. And we pray that prayer from the Gospels where the father of the son who's having fits says, Jesus, I do believe, but help my unbelief. He's saying, God, I do trust you, but help where I'm finding it really hard to trust. I need you to help me in that. I just really feel God's wanting to say he wants to just release wisdom in this place this morning for those of us who are struggling to know what to do, how to trust. So if that's you this morning, maybe that's all of us, and you're looking for some wisdom into a situation that you're facing, Say to God right now, Lord, I just want to receive your wisdom. Holy Spirit, come and just release wisdom in this place.